is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. But I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
For GE, which has been a global brand and a global company for a long time, it became obvious to them early on that digital health was going to be an area that was not going to be limited by geographic boundaries. And so what we thought would be really interesting today to do is to sit down with the leader, the senior director or managing director of GE Healthcare's GE Ventures Group, who has spent the last several years not only investing in digital health, not only investing here in the U.S., but spending a lot of time traveling the world, meeting entrepreneurs, meeting investors, meeting stakeholders, and having conversations about the ideas, about how GE can support them. And so the partnership that we announced 2 years ago, I am proud to say, has been an incredible success. GE has now invested in 3 startup health companies, continues to be involved not only with our companies here in the U.S., but as Unity mentioned, we have companies in 8 different countries and 45 different cities. So ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the Senior Managing Director for Healthcare for GE Ventures, Rafael Torres.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you for having me here. As Steve lives and breathes, and he has batteries included and connected and on, I have to say it is, I'm proud also of being here because I, as Steve said, was able to participate early on in the co-creation of our first class of companies. Startup Health, to give you an idea, hadn't recruited any companies into its global growth platform. So we, in 2012, I was trying to look in Google if there was one of these charts that shows you the appearance of a word in the English language, and digital health wasn't characterized yet, but basically it's part of our lexicon today. It wasn't part of our lexicon there, and we felt that we couldn't miss that wave. Steve asked me to do my own 59-second pitch. I'm going to do a 30-second pitch to provide role modeling for the entrepreneurs here, but in short, GE Ventures is the corporate venture activity of the General Electric Company. We have teams that address the industries where GE is in: healthcare, energy, advanced manufacturing, software. And the way we establish our investment themes is by looking at where our industries are going. So healthcare, in 10 years, we have a number of essential truths that we believe are fundamental to the changes that we're going to talk through today. And we develop themes around how to participate, position GE, and create optionality in these changes in the healthcare industry. That is a little bit different than taking your P&Ls and saying, this is a trajectory where my P&L will go, and I will invest in the next adjacency. Because, for example, the majority of the close to $20 billion that GE sells in healthcare are within the hospital. We think that there's going to be a significant amount of healthcare that is coming out of the hospital, and we are positioning a number of investments like CareMerge, for example, there. So let me stop there and see if I covered what you wanted.
You did, and thank you for covering that. I think, as everyone will get to see, it's difficult to sum up your business in 59 seconds. One of the things that became obvious when we started talking to GE several years ago, even about partnering, was the unique worldview that you have, obviously, by being a global company. Healthcare reform, which we're going to go through some of the conditions today. Healthcare reform is clearly something that a lot of people think is just a U.S.-centric opportunity, problem, and solution within the boundaries of the U.S. And I'd love to get some perspective and examples from you of how the challenges for providers and payers and pharmaceutical companies and patients here in the U.S. Might benefit from thinking about around the traditional boundaries that most people have thought about for solutions, perhaps other countries, other companies, other ways to think about how this is both a global problem and a global solution at the same time.
It certainly is. Let's address the U.S. part of your question first. What has come upon us is the advent of access. We're not going to judge the political side, but access is here. And it looks like it's going to be here for a while. And that's going to create an urgency on the supply-demand side. And if you look outside of the U.S., and whether you are talking about the U.K. going through their political transition or China going through their five-year plans, they are looking at the same exact crisis. We're spending too much and not getting enough. So whether you are an ACO in the U.S. or Shanghai Hospital in Shanghai, that I was there a month ago, talking to the head of purchasing, he's not asking me what is GE selling. He's not asking us what is my next Chinese company going to give me that I can tell you about. He's saying, give me a solution. Here's my problem. I have a line around the corner of people who have diabetes. People are living longer. Places like China, their rate of these pre-metabolic diseases has increased significantly in the last decade. They need a solution. And that solution can come from anywhere. So you see the same amount of pressure from the demographics that we talked about. You see political transitions and the rise of the importance of healthcare in the political agenda. So more and more we will scour the earth to look for these solutions.
And do you think other regions and other countries perhaps might be further along than the U.S. is that can help inspire or educate us about how we might do that a little bit more efficiently?
Maybe there are two angles to learn about. There are systems, whether payer provider systems, single payer provider systems, or systems where it has been primarily out of pocket pay. And when we go to India and learn about the maternity care solutions that have the ability to deliver babies for 1/10 of the cost of the US, and it's not coming from lower labor costs, it's coming for better workload efficacy. There's a lot to learn there, for example. So we are experimenting with a number of investments that came from places like Israel that have had to deal with this idea of involving the consumer. Now, consumer-driven healthcare plans, you wake up one day and you're congratulated by your company because you have a consumer-driven plan, which means you have somewhere between 3 and 6x out of pocket, but you realize that's a couple of months later that. How are you going to deal with that? How are you going to engage those patients? How are you going to continue to ensure that that utilization is not hampered? We are learning a lot from outside the U.S.
So when we think about the next condition, the acceleration of cost, chronic disease, and aging, how does it affect your strategy and GE Ventures' strategy around thinking about the critical crisis that we're in right now and the need to accelerate even the plans that people might have had around how important it is to get done now?
Let me combine that with the urgency that we were talking at in the first place, which is when you think about having a 10x increase in access in places not only like rural China, but the fact that there is 20 million plus people that are going to get more access in the U.S. or are getting more access, you have that immediate supply demand plus the chronic condition. So in short, we think that technologies that you are going to see today are going to be part of the solution, but our real bet is on the convergence. The reason why we got together back in the beginning of 2012 to launch in 2013 was that we were saying we cannot miss the tide of that convergence. It's difficult to pick which of the boats is going to be exactly the winner. But that convergence is going to come from the innovations that Aver is doing by bundling, for example, or CareMerge. And those are elements that weren't here 10 years ago. When you combine that with the fact that 40 or 43%, I think, is the number of doctors who have mobility solutions already embedded in their systems, when you have full digital countries like not only Estonia, which is actually the most, but the UK that did the effort, now Israel declared, the Prime Minister declared a month ago that that's going to be a fully digitized country, this is going to be a reality. So how do you converge those solutions is what we're going to look to be part of that solution.
So when you bring that thinking even into your role as a corporate venture investor, in 2014, we just came out with our Startup Health Insights report, $6.5 billion flowed into digital health. The interesting thing about what has changed is that corporate venture is now playing in early stage digital health startups. In fact, even 24, 36 months ago, you rarely would see corporate venture getting involved before the venture cap, the traditional institutional venture capitalists. We see this trend so much that in the listing of the top 10, you were tied with four other corporate venture arms for second place in corporate venture investing. And for entrepreneurs who have traditionally thought about waiting to go to strategics till later, or institutional investors thinking they have the market cornered because corporate venture gets involved later, why the change, and why do you think it's so important for corporate venture investors to be thinking about getting involved earlier and earlier in the life cycle of a startup?
Two reasons. One is essentially the timeline, that the compression of timing of innovation that we are seeing now, right? At meetings here, you can talk about companies that are saying, I am going to assemble an aggressive number, 1 million genomes. Imagine the cost of that in the year 2000, unfathomable. But today you say, well, it's at 1,000, maybe in the sort of Boston corridor. It can be at, you know, a couple of folds down and get it to a third of that. I can see the math, right? So cost of innovation is one. And if you wait as a corporate, you're going to miss. And second is also where the solutions are going to come from. So in this era of consolidation, whether you have primary care practices being bought by hospitals in the US, the consolidation outside the US, you're looking to be able to bring all of those solutions. There isn't any more the sales toolkit that is my MRI, and good luck with that. You have to come with a comprehensive solution, right? We have, again, in China, for example, we have the beauty of having been there and are the only private company in the board of hospitals of China. Well, that gives us visibility into some trends. And if we don't have the solutions to match those unmet needs, and we wait to organically innovate, we're going to miss the wave. So the essential component of my answer is to say that innovation is going to come from everywhere, and we need to be part of that innovation.
And so, you know, the Startup Health model is about the network effect and really trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work and who's helpful and who's not, quicker than ever before. Because of the network effect and what you're now seeing and able to get access to, even if you're learning about it through the relationships you're building, what areas are you most excited about? And I think it's interesting because GE Ventures has invested now in three of the Startup Health companies and continually looking at new technology solutions from all over the world. What areas are you most excited about?
I think the answer will be a little bit pleasing to everyone, but it's honestly what we think and why I constantly try to push the boundary internally, which is convergence. I used that word before. When you have electronic medical records at the levels that we have today, when you have sensors, we sell, and I've told you this example before, that we sell these blinking lights. You're, you know, wheeled into an ER and they take you either to an OR or to an ICU to take care of you. And there are more blinking lights with these octopus wires that they put on you. And then general word, and then nothing. Well, that's a $2.5 billion business for GE, that if we don't evolve, it's going to go away. Because there's going to be, whether it's a patch or a tattoo or an injectable, that is going to replace it. So it's not that the patch or the tattoo couldn't exist, it's that the convergence of the hub, things like other of our competitors are doing, the cloud is here, the analytics are here. We just invested in Apervita last week that is doing that type of integration of the layer cake of technology. So my answer is Steve, the convergence of factors that have finally come here is what gets us most excited. So what do you do around that? You need to get business model innovation, and you need to get clinical outcomes. This idea of digital health is great, but in our minds, firmly, it will continue to be physician-mediated, and you need to have very clearly thought plans in order to demonstrate clinical outcomes to create value, even though it's called digital health.
And around that component, globalization, which is the last condition, the notion that the traditional borders don't exist anymore, the idea that a company in Washington, D.C., or in Wisconsin, or in Tel Aviv, no longer just needs to look at the entrepreneurs or the startups in their area, or solutions in their area, or the traditional service providers or vendors of their choice. What does it mean now that the traditional borders are being removed, and we can now talk in a global conversation about the transformation of an industry, and that the global reimagination of healthcare is really here right now. And while you're answering, I want to know how long you think it's going to take for it to be so obvious to others.
I am an optimist, so I hope the answer is very little. The main thing for us of what it means is a call to action. And that call to action, I think, and this is my personal answer because I see a camera there, not the GE answer, is that we're regulatorily at a very good place versus where we were 5 years ago with the FDA or so. So, but it is a call to action to US regulators, to European regulators, to global regulators, because that lowering of borders is going to cause the transition of technology quickly to go from one place to another. So innovation is going to happen in the places that are more ready to adopt those. So I will tell you that when you have a Waze type app that gets a truly significant, demographically measurable impact in the traffic in the country of Israel, and then Google buys it here when it was at an order of magnitude more adoption, that's an example to me of how the borders of innovation are causing global efficiency, right? And how do we see that, you know, in a Finnish startup that is creating a way to improve workflow and decrease the time of finding a vein from, you know, 10x? What impedes that from coming to the US? Well, if you were to tell me traditional medical devices will continue to go through the CE mark process first because the FDA is making it too difficult, which is not the case anymore, I would tell you what is it causing? It's causing a call to action for the global ecosystem to converge towards speed, to converge towards faster adoption, and frankly, internationalization, globalization of this innovation.
Fantastic. Well, there's this saying that we have at Startup Health, and it's about being batteries included. The idea is that there's people who give energy to other people. There's organizations that give energy to other people. And there's also batteries not included, those people and organizations that suck the energy out. I can tell you firsthand, as an entrepreneur for almost 20 years, entrepreneurs want to avoid the batteries not included people in the world. And what has been amazing from every interaction we've had with GE and GE Ventures, and I go all the way back to the initial conversation with Beth Comstock and Sue and the rest of your team at GE Ventures, you embody what I think globally entrepreneurs need. And I think for a lot of corporate partners who might think GE is too big to play at the earliest of phases, what the most exciting thing has been is that you and your team and GE have been incredibly batteries included to the community, to the startup health community, to entrepreneurs globally. We're really excited as we begin to expand our partnership outside the US. And I think the thing that I really take away is the willingness to experiment that you guys on a daily basis continue to talk about, and your interest in learning from others. And I'd love to end with you just answering a couple of really short questions around, for entrepreneurs, how should they think differently about perhaps when it's ready to come to see GE or meet GE for a potential investment? And then the other question is going to be for corporate, perhaps how GE might be thinking about how their corporate partnerships might evolve.
There are styles, and every corporation has a pendulum, so you have to do your homework in measuring where on that pendulum that the corporate initiative is there. And what that means in simple language is that you have to understand that if you look at the portfolios of certain corporations, so I'm answering the second part first, and they only invest if they have a commercial deal with you, don't waste your time. Because unless you are ready to have a commercial deal and take sort of the Walmart size order, don't go there. So, you know, embed yourself into the ecosystem of decision makers there, because that's how decisions are made in a company. Now, for us, I think that I mentioned one and I will mention two more. I mentioned one aspect, which is we completely believe that even though there is probably $1 trillion of healthcare in the next 10 years coming out of the hospital, you need to follow the money. And that coming out of the hospital doesn't mean that it's not going to have clinical validity and utility, it doesn't mean that it's not going to potentially be either prescribed or certainly utilized in some ways, the data that you generate. So if you haven't thought about the clinical impact, about the outcomes, about the impact on the workflows of healthcare, think about it before coming. Think about following the money. It could be the best solution, and you know, it's never a good story when we were talking and I told you that I've been for 10 years on this board, that's not good, just we invest for exits. But this company or other companies don't necessarily realize that solutions are implemented by humans that need to care about staying in business and such, so follow the money as well. And the last point is speed matters. And yes, this is GE talking about speed matters because frankly we can show it in some ways, but understand what will it take in order to succeed. I was at CES last week and it has grown to be, you know, a healthcare show plus an auto show plus, and there were rows of undifferentiated companies that maybe some of them will succeed, but think about permanence, think about your long-term impact, and that will make a difference.
Fantastic. So the name of the community of health of entrepreneurs transforming healthcare are called Healthcare Transformers. If I can get a pin, what you'll find is that every one of the entrepreneurs in Startup Health gets this pin. It's a Healthcare Transformer pin, so you can spot them wherever they are. This batteries included notion is that every entrepreneur that we invite to be a part of Startup Health is batteries included. And every partner of Startup Health is batteries included. We literally try to curate both our partners and our network and our entrepreneurs as batteries included. So if you see one of these pins, it's your batteries included signal. I'm going to actually pin this on Rafael Torres because he's an honorary healthcare transformer, not just today, but every day. And you wear this for everybody at GE Ventures. It's been a great partner to us and the companies in the portfolio. Thank you for everything you do, Rafael.
Thank you, Steve.